What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you. After a couple days off for the holidays, got three different games to go over. Got everything Warriors related to go over. And some fun stuff that's been happening, too. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Hope everyone had a great couple days off or one day off. I know I only had one day off, but it was pretty righteous. I hope everyone enjoyed whatever time off they got. Got to spend some time with family, whatever. Hope you all had an enjoyable time. And it's been a much more enjoyable last couple of games. I'm pretty glad to see during that time off that the Warriors have figured some things out. But even during that time, they had another clunker against Oklahoma City on Wednesday. It was a 28-point loss. They just couldn't get it together, and it's been an ugly run for the Warriors right now, and frustrating for them, for us as fans. And I've mentioned before, the long-term outlook hadn't changed. The Warriors were still the favorites. They were still going to get three of their five starters back, who are also three other All-Stars. But during this run, that's one of the tough parts, is they still have enough talent to beat most of these teams. They should still win most of these games, but they just weren't doing it. And who knows the effect of the drama between KD and Draymond. I doubt it affected the rest of the team much besides that first game back where, you know, everyone was answering questions about it and there was kind of a cloud over the Warriors, so to speak. But it shouldn't have affected players for multiple games. And even KD, you know, it's understandable, but it's still not, I don't know, ideal, I guess. Steve Kerr made some changes to the lineup as well that definitely helped. I had talked about it before when he decided to put Andre Iguodala in the starting lineup over Quinn Cook. It just kind of killed spacing. And Steve Kerr decided to make the move to not only start Quinn Cook, but also start Andre Iguodala, move Jonas Jerebko back to the bench, and it's a move that has worked out pretty damn well. Except for the OKC game, obviously, that they ended up losing by 28 points. But it worked out that moving forward, that it just gave more spacing, more athleticism, just a little more, I don't know, firepower to the starting lineup. The OKC game, it happened. It felt like a low point, honestly, for the Warriors this season. And as I mentioned, it all should be taken with a grain of salt considering who's out. You don't have Steph, you don't have Draymond, and we still haven't seen Boogie play for the Warriors yet. Alphonso McKinney's also out. And I know, like, I'm not overinflating his value to the team, but he does have value to this team. And not having him is also a loss. So they lose to OKC. It happens. That's a team with a lot of talent, especially when you're facing a depleted Warriors. They played hard and played well, but once that fourth quarter came around, I think the Warriors got it down to six. And then OKC just took off. Dennis Schroeder couldn't miss. Schroeder, whatever his name is, couldn't miss. And it felt like a low point. It felt like we were just going to continue to watch the team lose until Steph and Draymond came back. Or just Steph. Because Steph's the one that really makes everything go. But it just felt like, yeah, they were just helpless to an extent. Klay Thompson is still not shooting like Klay Thompson. Had a bad game against OKC. Well, not a bad game, but not a Klay Thompson game. KD, again, it hasn't been bad. But you remember last year when Steph was out for 10 games and the Warriors went 9-1 and it was great and all that good stuff? Well, the main reason they went 9-1 during that stretch is because KD was playing MVP-level basketball, not just getting buckets. You know, KD's lines look fine. They look absolutely fine. Against OKC, he had, you know, 27 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 blocks. And he actually did play well. but it still wasn't that level that we saw last year when Steph was out. And maybe it's unfair to expect him to play at that level, but that's what it'll take for this team to win without Steph and with KD, just because KD plays a different style. The tempo goes down. It's not the same kind of style that the Warriors play with Steph Curry and Draymond Green. They don't have the pace to, they don't play at the same pace that they do when Steph and Draymond are in. So, again, it just wasn't a great game. Klay was fine, but it just, I don't know, it just did not work. They didn't get much from the bench. And again, what they got from Klay and KD was good, but not enough. It just was not enough. So it kind of felt, like I said, like a low point. And I've mentioned it before, and I'm going to continue to mention it. I never thought that the season was in peril or anything, because like I said, they're getting their guys back. But until they did, I felt like we were going to keep watching losses. And then the Portland game comes around on Friday, taking on the Portland Trailblazers at home. And Portland is, they're dangerous. They can light it up. They really can. I like the moves they've made. I don't know if I've really talked about it on here, but they've added three-point shooting. They added Seth Curry, who I'm a big fan of. I think he's an underrated player in this league, similar to Quinn Cook. Or Quinn Cook similar to him, however you want to look at it. Both played at Duke, both undersized shooting guards who can get buckets. But the Warriors took it to them, and it felt like Warriors basketball. And I had mentioned how OKC felt like a low point. Well, Kevin Durant had a quote after the Portland game, after the win, that I'm going to play for you right now. Because as I mentioned, it felt like, you know, we were just going to have to wait till Steph came back or until something, till they snapped out of it somehow or something like that. And this was Kevin Durant in his postgame interview when he was asked about snapping the losing streak and breaking out of this team's slump and whether he felt like it was just going to happen or how they did it. Here's what he had to say after the Portland game.
I don't believe in, like, it's just going to be over, like, when it's over. You know, in the NBA, I don't believe in fairy tales or emotions that come into this. It's not going to just be over unless we go out there and impose our will on the basketball court like we did tonight. And it's not going to just happen for us tomorrow. We got to play with that same passion and energy that we played with tonight. So it's not, I never really believe that, you know, just, It's gonna happen. We're gonna win a game eventually. Now we gotta go out there and play. And I think we've been trying. Obviously, the last five games we haven't got come out on top. But I think tonight we put together a full game, and that's what we're gonna need going forward. It's not gonna just happen for us. We gotta make it happen.
Great quote there by KD. And like I said, that was after the game, after the win, which we're about to go over. I know we're kind of out of order here, but the Warriors had, I don't know, it just felt like they had lost some of their, I don't know, not swag, but just some of their effort. It hadn't been there, and it was good to hear KD say that, but more than that, it was good to see the team break out of it and give that effort. And a big part of that in the Portland game, who they beat on Friday by 28 points, was just the effort overall of the entire team, but also a guy who I know we're all a big fan of, Jordan Bell. I think it was some of the best Jordan Bell minutes we had seen. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Big effort play to chase down a steal also. And one of the things that I noticed, and again, things that I'm about to mention in this vein are, I just enjoy them. I don't know what the actual effect it has on the team or anything like that. But just about every single player on the team reposted on their social media sites, whether Twitter, Instagram, etc., a great picture of Jordan Bell laying out to save the steal. And they all seem to like him. They all seem to see the work he puts in and hope that he can continue to play well, etc. It was just a great reaction to him having his second really good game, probably his best game of the year, but like his second really good game of the season. And not just for him, but for the team, they're going to be better if he's better. And we all expected a leap from him this year, which we haven't quite seen yet, but we definitely didn't expect regression. And that's what we saw with Pat McCaw from year one to year two, was a little bit of regression. Maybe he plateaued, but he did not take the leap that we thought he would. And now it's going to be interesting to see how Jordan Bell reacts and whether he's going to plateau, regress, or take somewhat of a leap. Progress, you know, like I'm interested to see. And the first, 18 games of the year looked like it might have been regression because he couldn't find the court. So it was great to see that, and he kind of encapsulated just the effort that had been missing for the Warriors over the last, that four-game losing streak. It's so funny it's only a four-game losing streak because I know for Warriors fans and myself, because I am one, felt longer than that for sure, just because we're not used to it over the last, 5 years. But back to the actual game, Kevin Durant had one of his best games over the last couple weeks since Steph's been out. Ended up with 32 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. And that's what I'm talking about when I mentioned when they went 9-1 last year without Steph. KD played some of his best ball, and he hadn't been doing it this season, or at least this stretch without Steph. And we're starting to see that. We saw it in the Portland game. We saw it in the Sacramento game I'm going to talk about in a minute. Probably see it against the Magic and so on. Toronto, whoever else is after that during that East Coast trip they got coming up. So KD was huge, and it was needed for this team. 2-5 from 3 is solid. He's still struggling from the three-point line. I think he's down to about 32% after the Kings game, which will be, if it sticks, that's his worst since his rookie year. I doubt that's going to stick, but we will see. Klay Thompson, another one who, you guys heard me say it, after the record-breaking game, was as awesome as that was, now we need to see the consistency. Just because he broke the record doesn't mean he's back. One great night doesn't make up for another 15 poor games. And he's getting there. He's getting there for sure. And Portland was a good start. OKC was a good start for him, really. But Portland kind of continued it. He was 12 of 21, 4 of 9 from 3, which is the big thing for him. 3 of 3 from the free throw line, which is good for him getting 3 free throws. I mean, that's that might be a career high. 7 rebounds, another one that he's not known for, is getting rebounds. So for him to get 7, that's another solid output for him. 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block. 31 points. Another good Klay game. And it's 3 in a row now with Sacramento, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. I know I keep saying that. That he's starting to break out of it. Starting to break out of the slump. Starting to play like himself. Someone who was another big piece in this game against Portland, Quinn Cook, with the move to start him and Andre Iguodala, however you want to look at it. 3-guard lineup, or Andre's playing the 4, or Andre's playing the 3, KD's playing the 4, however you want to look at it. Bottom line, Quinn Cook and Andre Iguodala started the game with Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and Damian Jones. Quinn Cook in 30 minutes, 7 of 16, 5 of 8 from 3, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 19 points, plus 26 in those 30 minutes. As I mentioned with Quinn, I hope they find a role for him once Steph comes back, especially since we see the second unit has trouble scoring. This guy can score in a number of different ways. He's not just a 3-point shooter, but he's one hell of a 3-point shooter. Last I checked, he was at 48% after tonight's Kings game. By my counting, he's at 46%. The guy can knock it down, and I don't see why they can't find time for him on the floor, even when Steph comes back. Either way, doesn't matter. Steph's not here. Quinn is getting playing time, and he's playing damn well. Big part of that win. He was a big part of that win against the Trailblazers, and that was a big win for the Warriors just to get out of their funk. You know, if you're losing, oh well, but it just felt like there was a funk that they just couldn't. I don't know if they were feeling sorry for themselves. Steve Kerr has mentioned he thinks that they felt sorry for themselves at times, and they forced their way out of it, and Quinn Cook was a big part of that. Onto the bench, that was another part of this game, is everyone contributed. Everyone contributed, from Kevin Durant all the way down to Damian Lee. Okay, maybe Damian Jones didn't contribute that much. We'll get to that in just a minute, though. I mentioned Jordan Bell, how big of a role he played. It was great to see that spark plug that he was last year kind of reemerge against Portland. Jonas Jerebko, another solid 21 minutes for him. Knocked down 2 threes. He was 2 of 4 from 3. seven rebounds, two of them offensive, one steal, 7 points. He's given the Warriors just what they need from him, and it's so refreshing to see after the Omri Caspi and Nick Young deals that just did not work. And Pat McCaw didn't work either. I still like Pat, still think he's a solid player, but he never had a three-point shot like Jonas Jerebko or Alphonso McKinney or my next guy, Damian Lee, who I'm not even going to say it because Damian Lee's playing so well he doesn't need the preamble of who he's married to and who his in-laws are. Damian Lee has played in, I think, 4 or 5 games for the Warriors now. He's been knocking down threes like it's his job because you know what it is. Last I checked, he was at 50%. And I believe, including tonight's game, according to my terrible math, he's at 48%. So he's playing really well for the Warriors in a short amount of time. It'd be nice to see him be able to do this through the long term and continue to play well for him. But he's gotten his opportunities for a number of different reasons, and part of that is the Pat McCaw saga. It's not just Alphonso McKinney who has benefited from it. It's also Damian Lee, because Damian Lee is now getting minutes without Alphonso McKinney in. In 5 games in the rotation for the Warriors, Damian Lee has been reliable. And obviously, there's still plenty of ways to go. But if he continues to play like this, he's almost a shoo-in for that 15th roster spot, in my opinion. Obviously, depends on buyouts. Depends on a lot of stuff. But the bottom line is the Warriors are making great use of that 2-way contract, as they did last year with a guy named Quinn Cook. Rest of the bench, again, played well. Sean Livingston is just a damn joy to watch. He's so consistent and such a calming presence on this team on the floor. In that Portland game, 11 points, 4 or 7 from the field. Just classic Sean, old man game. You got to love it. You really got to love it. So this was the game that kind of knocked the Warriors out of their funk a little bit. But they had a tough game coming up next against Sacramento that they just played less than 24 hours ago. And I'm going to cover that game next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Just finished covering the last 2 games for the Dubs when they took on OKC and got smoked. And then they decided to smoke Portland. 28-point win against Portland, 28-point loss against OKC. And then they took on Sacramento less than 24 hours ago. And I can't lie, I was a little nervous about this game. Sacramento is a team that has really improved, and they play at the fastest pace in the league. A major difference for them from them in their style of play last year. They also have a lot of young, good players, whether it's De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Willie Cauley-Stein, Bogdan Bogdanovic. Marvin Bagley has looked good. He really has. Whether or not I believe they should have picked someone else, Marvin Bagley's playing well. So knowing how the Kings play and what they can do and how they can get hot from three and then they can get out and run and transition and are just super fast, and they're the younger Warriors, so to speak, and just the way the pace they play. And yes, the Warriors' win against Portland was encouraging, but it wasn't a guarantee that they were going to continue to play like that, or they wouldn't revert back to the slowest pace in the league like they were during that 4-game losing streak. They played at the slowest pace. It's a fact. So tonight's game was an interesting one. It was interesting. It was a KD game. No doubt about that. KD came out, had 44 points in 40 minutes, was 50% from the field, 2 of 8 from 3, which he knows he needs to work on. He's talked about it. 16 of 17 from the free throw line, which was a huge part of the game, kind of underrated part of the game. 13 rebounds, 7 assists. 2 block shots. Like I said, and I've repeated it a number of times during that 9-1 stretch without Steph. And yes, Draymond played during that stretch last year. But also, during that time without Steph, KD played at an MVP level. And now we've seen it for 2 straight games from KD. And something that doesn't show up in the stat sheet is this game kind of had a wacky ending to it. Marvin Bagley, I believe, gets a rebound late with about 5 seconds left, maybe less, goes to put it back up and gets a wedgie. He doesn't get a wedgie. He wedges the ball in between the rim and the backboard. And as you all know, that means it's a jump ball at center court. And they elected to have KD do the jump ball, which was a smart decision. Initially, my first thought was, okay, Loon versus Willie Cauley-Stein, this might not be great. And there's about 2.8 seconds left, I believe. Kevin Durant gets up, technically wins the jump ball, and does what was incredibly smart, and I didn't even think of it at the time. Doesn't even try and win possession for his team. He just slaps the ball into the Kings' backcourt about as far as he possibly can because the clock starts as soon as someone touches the ball on the tip. It's not when someone gains possession. It's as soon as the ball's touched. And as soon as he did that, Buddy Hield charges back, gets it, heaves up an 80-foot shot, doesn't go in, ball game. I wish that was ball game because then the refs go, spend about 10 minutes on review, put 0.3 back on the clock, blah, 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 blah. But a solid play by Damian Jones, who I'm going to get to in just a minute. With that 0.3 left on the clock, Steve Kerr puts Damian Jones on the inbounder. And it's a smart move that we've seen plenty of teams do before. You put your big 7-footer on the inbounder and make it tougher for them to inbound the ball. And he actually tipped it. And again, same thing like a jump ball. As soon as Damian Jones makes contact with the ball, clock starts with 0.3 seconds left, game's over. And part of the rules is with 0.3 seconds left, you are technically allowed to gather and shoot the ball. So as soon as Damian Jones touches the ball, that's it. Ball game over. So good play from Damian Jones. Smart play from Kevin Durant. Here's what KD had to say about whether this was the most important jump ball in his career and if he's ever had to participate in a jump ball like this.
Nah, not like that, nah. Luckily, I won that. Cauley-Stein is a pretty athletic guy, so I'm glad I went out.
Were you just going up trying to bat it as far away from your hoop as possible?
Yeah, for sure. That was the plan. And Buddy Hield got to it. It went a nice time on the clock. You know, still could have ran a nice play for him to get a win, so credit to them. But I just tried to try to tip it as far away from my basket, from their basketball.
As I mentioned, KD came up huge for the Warriors tonight, was playing MVP-level basketball, and it wasn't just on the stat sheet, even though he did manage to fill it up. Klay Thompson had himself another solid game. He was 12 of 26 from the floor, 5 of 12 from 3. And like I said, we're starting to see Klay put together games of solid play, where it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle for him recently. But this is the third straight game where Klay has kind of looked like himself and played like himself. And not only that, he did have a somewhat of a mistake towards the end of the game where he kind of forgot about the fact that the shot clock only recycles to 14 after an offensive rebound and jacked up, you know, a 38-footer with about 5 seconds left on the clock. Probably could have gotten a better shot. He bricked the 38-footer. But it doesn't matter because what it came down to was the end of the game. Andre Iguodala gets an offensive rebound, I think off a KD miss, and Andre kicks it to Klay. Klay kind of pump fakes, drives to the hoop, puts up a shot, looked like he got fouled, misses off the backboard, gets his own rebound, puts it back up, boom, Warriors take the lead. That's ball game. About 5 seconds left on the clock, and then the whole sequence that I mentioned with KD and the jump ball happened, and the Warriors end up winning. But a huge game for Klay Thompson. And this is what they need. This is what has been missing, that high-level game from Kevin Durant and great play from Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant have only scored 30 points in the same game 3 times. They've done it in back-to-back games now. This is how they're going to be able to win without Steph, without Draymond, without Boogie, without McKinney, without whoever. And that's been one of the tough parts about that stretch, that losing stretch, is this team is still good enough to be winning. They should probably still win these games, but their top talent just wasn't playing up to par. Or when they did, no one else showed up. That was not a problem tonight, as Damian Jones, who, look, after the Portland game, I was, you all know how I'm a fan of his, and part of why I'm a fan of his is because if he's good, the Warriors will be better with him being a good player. Obviously, he's got a high ceiling with all his athleticism, but the mental part of the game is not where it needs to be. And in Portland, he looked lost. He got pulled quick in the first quarter, pulled quick in the third quarter, because he was getting worked by Jusuf Nurkić and that high pick and roll, which, I've never had to guard Jusuf Nurkić on the high pick and roll, but man, Damian Jones was getting cooked. But it happens. Tonight, he played 21 minutes, came out aggressive. He had 7 points in the first quarter, I think. Ended the game with 13 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, and was 3 of 4 from the free throw line, which I've mentioned before is always a good sign from him because he's, at least percentage-wise, has never been a good free throw shooter. He was aggressive, going to the hoop hard, making plays. He had a couple and ones, one on a nice reverse layup, another one on a hard, decisive dunk because he looks, that's the other thing, is he looks very tentative out there. And Steve Kerr said in his post game, you know, Damian Jones looked angry out there, and I was glad to see it. Hopefully he's been able to channel something here, but it's just a good bounce back game for a guy who's struggled, and especially against Portland, for, you know, me being one of his biggest supporters, for me to just kind of roll my eyes and be like, man, I might have just been completely wrong. It's good to see a bounce back game from him. Like I said, if he's solid, it only makes the Warriors better. Good game from him. He also had 2 nasty putback dunks off of misses within about 60 seconds of each other. So he was a key contributor tonight. Quinn Cook struggled, 2 of 11 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3. Both threes he did hit were pretty big, though. One of them was to go up 111 to 108 with about 3 minutes left. Quinn also, after the tough game, he was out there getting shots up after the game on the floor, which it's cool to see. I don't know how much it matters, but just to editorialize, I like it. I think it's cool. We'll see how it works out. As I've said, Quinn's a weapon, though. Kevon Looney, as solid as it gets. That's what Steve Kerr loves about him. He's just damn solid. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He's just good. He's just good. Jonas Jerebko, 0 for 3 from 3 tonight, but still 2 of 5 from the field. And like I said, maybe it's my own biases or whatever, and maybe you can't pluralize bias, but whatever, I just did. I was not expecting him to be as traditional a power forward as he is. I expected a stretch four who likes to shoot from the outside, and that's it. Not the case. He will get dirty. He will go down and bang, and he will get you boards also. 9 rebounds. He might be the second or third best rebounder on this team, which is something that is very welcome for a team that can lack it at times. Sean Livingston, solid. Damian Lee, also solid. 1 of 3 from the field, 1 of 3 from three. I've been very impressed with Damian Lee. I cannot lie. He might have a future on this team. Again, like I said, we got to see what the rest of the season unfolds, but he has been really good for the Warriors in these last 5 games where he's been in the rotation. The Golden State Warriors, after losing 4 straight, their first 4-game losing streak in the Steve Kerr era, so to speak, knocked them down to the 5th seed in the Western Conference. Big trouble ahead, am I right? They win the next 2, they're back up top, still the number 1 seed in the Western Conference. Your number 1 seed, Golden State Warriors. Nice win for them tonight. Close game. They finished it out, which was also good to see. It was great to see the blowout, great to see them get it done late. They win 117-116. They take on Orlando Magic on Monday. Going to come back and talk about that one real quick before we wrap up here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. As I mentioned, the Warriors play Orlando on Monday. Still no Steph Curry. Real quick, Steph Curry news. He will not play Monday. He will be reevaluated, but they do believe he will be available to return during this next East Coast road trip that starts on Thursday. You might see him Thursday. We will see. No idea, though. Taking on Orlando Monday. Orlando is a long team. Not great. We know they have their problems, but they do have some firepower, too. I'm a fan of Aaron Gordon, Mo Bamba, Jonathan Isaac, Jonathan Simmons. They got some players, so it should be an interesting one. But good for the Warriors to knock off 2 solid teams in Portland and Sacramento. But don't underestimate Orlando. They're not quite on the same rise as Sacramento is, but they're a team you can't take lightly. Be sure to tune into that. I will be back Monday with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.